Would you turn to 1 Timothy, the third chapter? First Timothy 3, and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested, and that word manifested means to be revealed, to identify. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. And if you go to 1 John, the third chapter, verse number 5, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And then finally in Philippians, the second chapter, verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Lord, we're so grateful that you manifest yourself to us, that we know who you are. We know your name and how much you love us. Anoint and bless as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And you know that he, Jesus, was manifested or made apparent to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. God was manifested in the flesh or rendered apparent so he could take away our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Without God robing himself in flesh, we would have to answer for our sins. But after Calvary, the manifestation of God is not in flesh any longer. The disciples were afraid that when he left in John 14, that they'd be all alone. And he said, I would not leave you comfortless, for I will come unto you. Not manifested in the flesh, but now manifested in the spirit. So people have a hard time locating God because he's not in the flesh any longer. We're looking for something tangible in an invisible religion. Yet God is just as apparent today as when he walked the shores of Galilee. You just need to know what to look for. Amen. What to feel after. Turn to Psalms, the 132nd chapter. Psalms 132. And starting in verse number 13, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. Now, Zion is the Jewish church. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make my horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. So he's talking about that he is going to rest in Zion or the Jewish temple. So according to the scripture, God desires a place of habitation, a place to dwell, a place to rest, for I have desired it. It is his desire that he has a place, a house among his people, a sanctified place that he could put his name on and dwell in. He's looking for a place to manifest his spirit in. Not just a building without his presence. God is not an absentee landlord. David said in Psalms 132 and 1:4, the Lord hath chosen Zion for his habitation. Zion was that Jewish temple, that Jewish church, and he manifested himself in that place. And today, God has chosen the church of the living God, a place to manifest his presence. He's everywhere, but he wants to reveal himself in a specific place, and that's his church. If you'll turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12 and 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. So, Zion, he's come to a living place. This is a living place, a living organization. God spoke to Moses in Exodus saying, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The house was to be a form of manifestation so people could locate God. In America, you can just drive a few blocks and you'll see a church, and then you'll see another church. There were so many churches built in the early 1900s because it was an identification or manifestation of God. You see the church, you see the cross, you see a place where people could interact with God. Did you know that God's first temple or house had skin? It was badger skin in the tabernacle. And the second temple was Solomon's temple of precious gold and solid pillars. Both manifestations where God took up residency. They were a shadow and type of the temple to come, which is Jesus, a temple of skin and of precious gold. You see, he made himself known to us through these tabernacles. Jesus said in John 2 and 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Man can build great church buildings, and I've been in many, many wonderful cathedrals that are just opulent and so much wealth in them. But a building without the Spirit of God is just another building. It's a fireplace without any kind of fire. And that's why we emphasize the importance of receiving the Holy Ghost, because the Spirit of God is what makes us the house of God. We are the habitation. We are the manifestation of God. His manifestation in the flesh is gone, but he still has a manifestation of the flesh, and that's each and every one of us, to manifest to the world who Jesus really is. It's not so much a building with a cross on top. It's a people who will be sanctified for him. You see, God bought us at Calvary, and on the day of Pentecost, he just moved in and made us a living, moving temple, a portable temple. You don't want to go to church? We'll bring church to you. You bring church to those on the job. You bring church to those at Thanksgiving dinner, you see. Oh, well, I'm not going to that place. Well, I'll tell you what, the temple will come to you. So if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 6 and verse number 16, it says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God," who is that? That's us, "with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." You are a temple. You're like Zion. You're the New Testament Zion. "As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." So we find that we today are the manifestation, or the very appearance, or made apparent to the rest of the world of what God really is. We can't be a sanctuary if we touch unclean things. That's why this sanctuary, you know, when we built this building, I was a general contractor in 94, and when the contractors came in, I said, "Let me just say this, that this is the house of God from the very time we have a foundation. I don't want smoking, I don't want drinking, I don't want foul language in here, because this is a sanctuary." You see, we have to keep it clean if we expect God is going to come. Well, the same is true for this temple, you see. Now listen, there is not any place that God is not. He's everywhere, folks. He is all around, all the time, no matter where we go, from the deepest part of the ocean to the surface of the moon. But there are special manifestations of God's presence. And that's why when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, as soon as Moses approached the bush, well, he said, "This is holy ground. Wherever God manifests himself, that is holy ground." We have to respect the sanctuary, because this is where God manifests himself. Why was it holy? Because it was where God's presence was. There's a difference from God's unmanifested state and when he chooses to manifest his presence. He's everywhere, but he doesn't reveal himself to everybody in every instance. Notice the difference when we gather for service and suddenly God moves down a few pews and begins to manifest himself in our sanctuary. Have you ever broke out crying and had no reason why you were crying, or start shaking and you had no reason? It was the manifestation of God in our midst. Suddenly your hands can't stop shaking. Why? Because God just manifested what was always there. It was always there, but all of a sudden he revealed. You drive down the road, he's in your car, but you don't recognize it until all of a sudden some goosebumps go down your back. He's manifesting himself. He wants to show himself strong on behalf of those who have a perfect heart towards him. God is in all places at all time, but he exists in two states: unmanifested and manifested, or rendered very apparent and not apparent at all. And the people in this world aren't aware of his presence, even though he's all around them, whether you're a saint or a sinner. But when you simply say, "I think I love you, I think I want to live for you," bam, all of a sudden God said, "I'm going to manifest myself to you. You're going to feel something like you have never felt before." Hallelujah. "I want to make you my house." You see, Solomon said when he dedicated the temple, He said, the house I built for you, will God indeed dwell in a house, seeing that the heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee? You can't contain God. But what we long for, what we really want is, show yourself strong to me. Reveal yourself to me. We had a good service. Why? Because I felt the power of God. You know, it wasn't because of the preaching. It wasn't because of the song service. But I felt something. There was a strong presence of God's Spirit. He manifested himself to me for a reason. Will God be contained in a box called the Ark of the Covenant? No. Will his presence be contained between two angels on a box? Yet God said, I'll meet you at the mercy seat. There will I commune with you. What he's saying to us churches, I'll meet you at the sanctuary. You know, I'm everywhere, but I'm going to meet you at the sanctuary. Expect to commune with me in the sanctuary. That's why, oh yes, I can worship God in the woods and that's all, but he has desired that we would meet in a place for his name, you see. And where God manifests himself now becomes holy, not because of an ark, but because of a manifestation, a very apparent feeling of God. You see, when you walk in here tonight, God was already in this place. I think about Jesus coming to Simon's house and nobody offered to wash his feet or anoint him or kiss him. And there was this woman who came in uninvited, broke open an alabaster box and was all over Jesus. And other people were critical because of her and because of her lifestyle. But could we become that way? Could we walk into his sanctuary? This place, this holy place. And yet we don't make reference to him at all until maybe halfway through the song service. Even denominational churches come in and kneel before their pews, before they sit down, in total respect to God. I wonder if we all got to that place where before we said anything to anybody else in the sanctuary, we acknowledged him. Hallelujah. Now this place becomes holy, which is scary for some and uncomfortable for others. Because the first time you feel the presence of God, you didn't know what it was. It is a little scary. It is the process of changing a building into a temple of God. It's a process of changing a life into the temple of God. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. We read it in 1 Timothy 3 and 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. He revealed himself through flesh. We know more about God because of his manifestation in the flesh, what he was willing to do for each and every one of us. What is godliness? It is God being enshrined in humanity. The opposite of godliness is iniquity, which is man trying to be God, or I can do it on my own. God was revealed in the flesh. God became what he never was and never ceased to be what he always was. God is always spirit. He cannot be anything else but spirit. We worship him in spirit and in truth, but he can add to himself another dimension or another revelation. He can show us who he is through another dimension or another manifestation, whether it's tongues and interpretation or a miracle that you're not expecting, or God speaking to us in the middle of the night and you're not expecting it, you see. John 4 and 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because when we do this, God then manifests himself to us. That's why I put so much emphasis on worship in this church, because when you worship God, you have the greatest opportunity to have God manifest himself to you, whether it's speaking to you or allowing you to feel his presence. We're a privileged people because we physically feel the presence of God. This is not just a book report of all of the great things that God used to do. No, he does those things now. God is always a spirit, but he can show up as water or as a rock, as he did in the wilderness, and that rock was Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 10 and 4. He can show up as manna coming down from heaven. And he said, I am the bread. He manifested himself. There is clarity to who he is through the different forms that he has taken, or a pillar of fire, or a pillar of clouds. He is manifested in different ways, but he is always a spirit that fills the entire universe. God has a whole wardrobe of masks. You know, he's got many different disguises. He comes incognito. Maybe there's somebody you're talking to that doesn't even know God, and God will use that individual to talk to you. I wonder how many sermons I've gotten simply by talking to other people, and then God just touches me and said, that's what you need to talk about. Colossians 1 and 15 tells us that Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. We can't see God except for how he reveals himself. It's like in John 3 and 8, it tells us we can't see the wind, but we can see how it moves and how it sounds. And such is everyone who is filled with the Spirit. The first time I began speaking in a language that I never knew, it was a manifestation of his great power and control over my life. You see, if he can control your tongue, he can control you. Amen. And I came longing every service to feel his touch, because it's addicting, folks. I want to know. Let me feel your spirit one more time. Reassure me, Lord, that I am thine. I will never doubt. You surely brought me out. Take a look at Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostles and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. He built this house. He gets the glory. He built this church. Beautiful building. He gets the glory. The building doesn't get the glory. My ministry doesn't get the glory. Your faithfulness doesn't get the glory. It's Him who gave us the ministry, who allowed us to be faithful, you see? Hallelujah. We are His house, and I am the house of God where He manifests Himself to the world. When they see you, they should see God. Conforming to His image. Listen, His house shouldn't look like a ghetto. Some say God doesn't care what you look like. Let me just say, they're wrong. It is important what you look like. God will move into a shack, but immediately He starts to remodel it. He moved into a lot of us, but He insisted that there's going to be some change. And those people who think, hey, just come as you are and be as you are, I'm sorry, that's not the way God operates, because He manifests Himself in a house to demonstrate to the world who He is, not us, He is. Glory to God, because it is a revelation of Himself, but Christ as a son or flesh over His own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence or faith and the rejoicing of the hope unto the end. You see, over His own house, He's taken occupancy of a bunch of houses, you see. Please understand that two worlds want to occupy your house. The question is, who am I going to unlock the door for? See. The bottom line is this: God is interested in building a house that's you and me, a house that will magnify Him to the rest of the world. You see, they need to see us as a little different than the rest of the world. A house that will manifest His presence, a house that will bring glory to Him. Hebrews 3:3 said, He who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. I thank God for who I am today, because it isn't because I was so determined, it was because He was so determined to turn me into something that He could be proud of and He could display before the rest of the world. Church, we need to understand this very important principle. He who builds my house needs to get a lot more glory than me. See. There's nothing wrong with someone admiring your walk with God, your worship, your service to God in teaching and ministering, but when they compliment, we need to turn around and say, oh, I'm just the house. You ought to see the builder. If you like this house, I want to introduce you to the architect. He's done wonders with the remodeling of this house. It's amazing what I used to be and what I am today. You see, I was a shack on the wrong side of the tracks. I was on drugs. I was immoral. I was a drunk. My house was falling apart. But God went on a journey into the slums of humanity, and He pulled me out, and now I am a display to the rest of the world of what God wants you to be. And you know, you can tell whether or not that is your role based on the response from a lot of people around you. But what church do you go to? Ooh, I shouldn't have said that in front of you. I had somebody say that to me this week. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Why? Because we're a reflection of our God. A treasure hunt and trash heaps, to transform trash into treasure, because God wants a house. And he'll go to any length in order to remodel it. A house that speaks to this world of the power and the manifestation of a great God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen, heaven is not our goal. I know what I said this morning. Heaven is not our goal. Heaven is our destiny. To be like Christ is our goal. If we're like Christ, there won't be any problem in our destiny going to heaven. Now, don't take this the wrong way, but if you have the Holy Ghost, you have become the earthy flesh house of God. Amen. Jesus left, but he left flesh here. It's the church of the living God. You have a biblical right to say, I am God manifested in the flesh in a very small measure. It's true. We have God inside of us. For Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, yet we only have a measure of his spirit within us. But we are the God-man like he was, because it was flesh and God. We are flesh and God. Colossians 3 and 15 tells us we are the body of Christ. We are the temple of God, his sanctuary, which he desires to make his habitation. God left this earth in a bodily form, but he still needs some way to manifest himself to the world. He can't do that through the Spirit, because people don't recognize the Spirit, but they can recognize the temple of God. They can recognize we are different. If you've been in this for any length of time and you meet somebody that, you knew a long time ago, and they look at you and they say, what happened to you? You're different than I remember you was. Well, God's been in a remodeling project. Amen. Hallelujah. But he still needs some way to manifest himself to the world. Behold, the body of Christ. That's what we are. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I didn't say we were perfect. I didn't say we were all mighty, all wise, or all powerful. But we are still the best that God has to offer. We're the best that the world could offer. Church, we are God's headquarters operation on this planet. We are his epistles seen and read by all men. So how is your house doing? Does it reflect the manifestation of God? Because ultimately, that's what God wants. He wants us to be a witness simply by looking good. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight? Would you stand with me, please? There's a culture in this society that wants to change us, wants us to look different, act different. But I am one stubborn German. God doesn't change. He doesn't. And he's particular as to who he lives in. Amen. And I want to do the best to represent him. Amen. Because it might be the salvation of somebody around us. Amen. You need to see us in that light. Amen. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?